is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host Simon. Simon, what's up?
Man, I'm just looking at sexy Spider-Man costumes.
Those ads will get you every time, man. You gotta click away.
It's just there.
I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever, even though I just saw you. We didn't record last week, but I came to town and had a grand old time.
Yeah, Lex came to town. We went downtown.
Yeah.
Had a grand time. Yeah, it was good to see you in person. But here we are. We're back.
We're back. What's going on? What else is going on with you?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple of companies that I'm reaching out to, a few that have reached out to me. So just kind of doing that to get some free stuff and to get my name out there. So that's been fun.
You're taking the show on the road, man. I love it.
Yeah, I'm doing a tour.
Just don't leave me behind.
Shit.
On this week's episode of the podcast, we are reviewing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Saturday Morning Adventures. Why are we reading this?
So, I am in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle like collaboration group on Instagram. We usually, people just post a date and then I just like prepare a picture for that date. I think we do it twice a month.
I like it.
And my buddy Jay from Chicago, I'm probably going to see him in a couple weeks, but I mean, like, we're going to make it happen. I don't want him to listen to this and be like, you said, but anyway, he's a good guy. But he was like, he's been picking up these comics and a lot of other people were picking them up in the group. And he was like, hey, you know, I got a request. Like, will y'all review this book? I said, yeah, let me ask my co-host. Like, I don't care. But anyway, so that was the thought process behind this. We had a few lined up, but, you know, it was just one of those things, like, short read works well for this weekend because we got kind of delayed. So, anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a turtle book. If you've listened to the show for a while now, you know that we review a lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. In fact, at the series, we're working on a pre-recording a series for later this year, which the year's almost over, but it's like a turtle month. So it doesn't fit in this, but I'm never going to say no to a Ninja Turtle book.
Yeah.
I might say no to another, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Saturday Morning Adventures book, but I'm never going to say no. All right, let's get into it. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Saturday Morning Adventures issue number one, written by Eric Burnham, art and covers by Tim Laddie. In 1987, the world at large was introduced to the TMNT by way of a catchy theme song and an action-packed cartoon. The cartoon's aesthetic returns in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Saturday Morning Adventures, featuring an all-new set of standalone stories. In this issue, after an unexpected power surge, the heroes in the half-shell find themselves trapped in a training simulator, fighting to free themselves from the digital clutches of some of their most fearsome foes. Get ready for VR in deep trouble. And try not to worry if that theme song is already stuck in your head. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
It's from the 80s.
Yeah. I was going to say, so I won't tell it here. It's his story to tell. But Jay has a very inspiring story about why he's into TMNT and why he really holds on to that. So that was another reason why I kind of wanted to read this. Because I think it's just one of those things. Like, we were talking about it. And I mentioned that growing up, we were poor. I had some TMNT toys that were all hand-me-downs. I had a lot of stuff, but it was all hand-me-downs. We moved into a small house. The house had some like nonprofit come over and fix up the house, and they thought all my toys, because I didn't have enough room in my room for it, they thought all my toys were like donations, and they took everything.
That's a tragic story.
It sucked.
And I don't mean that to be serious or anything like that. I'm being serious.
I didn't think you did. And so I'm sitting here telling this story. He's like, well, let me tell you about war-torn Bosnia. I was like, okay, you win. I'm pretty sure Bosnia. I'm going to feel foolish if that was wrong. But at any rate, so that was another reason why I really wanted to get into it. Partially where I don't think we're going to see eye to eye on everything, just because like I know his story behind it and like why I kind of enjoyed this. Like why he probably enjoyed it more. Well, so.
And I'm to give my, because I feel like I should give my backstory as far as childhood relationships, the product. My family, we were really wealthy when I was a kid, and I had every single Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle product that could be like available on the market. It's so much, in fact, that you, if you listen to the show, I've talked about how I had the TMNT party wagon and was done playing with it, threw it away because I just didn't want it anymore. Rather than give it to someone else that didn't have toys or give it to my younger brother, I threw it in the trash can because it was mine, right? I'm definitely kidding. We were not super wealthy, but my parents did go out of their way to spoil us, and I did have a ton of those toys. And I did throw that party wagon away, not because we were, you know, wealthy or I was a prick. It's just, I don't know. What do you do with toys? Do you think about all the toys that you've gotten rid of? Your parents throw them away or donate them, right?
Yeah.
I just vividly remember like throwing that one away because I don't know why. It haunts me to this day.
I can tell you that after that, I've never thrown away a toy. And that's why I'm like super weird about all the pieces and parts and everything.
I'm weird about it now with my son's toys. I'm like, no, man, listen, if you're just going to break this, give it to me. I will keep it. I will make sure when you're my age and you look back on, oh, I wish I still had this. Your dad's a psychopath weirdo and he still has it. Here.
Yeah, here you go.
But don't break it. It's mine now.
It just smashes it on the ground.
I am interested to see where we part on this. You know, I was listening to older episodes and I was like, man, sometimes we're really mean on books. And I don't want to do that, you know, so I'm going to try to be nice. Nice about my meanness. I can't be mean about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So let's get into it. I think the way I want to go is let's talk about the issue. Quick summary, like no more than 5 minute summary of what happened in this issue. All right. 5 minutes. What happened, Simon? Let's talk about it.
Well, that's kind of a Kale is all this time thing. Like, you know, Donnie's supposed to be the science dude, and I know it's a lot of times his stuff messes up. Anyway, just
yeah, but also he's in the sewer.
I mean, I know he's using trash, but this looks pretty advanced.
It looks like he took a Chuck E. Cheese machine and then put plutonium in it and decked it out with turtle gear.
Yeah, so he builds like a the whole premise is that it's like raining, and so they can't train. They can't train because there's a storm in New York. So he's like, oh, well, I built this VR studio that we could use to train. Of course, Raph brings up, it's like, well, what if lightning hits it? And he's like, nah, you know, all these fail safes.
That'll never happen.
Yeah, it happens. When it happens, they can't really get out of it. And like until they do this capture the flag thing, they just kind of get sent in all these different areas. So they all have a different video game. There's a really neat reference to the TMNT tournament fighters. Like even on the screen in the background, there's a reference to like the arcade game, which was really cool. So
yeah,
it's just a lot of fun little things. And that's it. Eventually they get out.
And I feel like we didn't talk about this at all, but this feels like the show totally all individual stories. I feel like, and each one of these issues feels like an episode of the show, which I did appreciate that once I got over it.
Yeah. That was something that I kind of like, I thought it was a serialized thing. So once I got to issue two, I was like, oh, okay. It's just like, yeah, it's just the show, which all, you know, makes a lot of sense since it's called the Saturday Morning. Yeah. They, at the end of the issue, they fight all their main guys, and even the way this issue ends, like, was it something I said? Like, that is definitely, I heard the dun 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 dun, like at the end of it. So yeah, I mean, it's a pretty cut and dried thing.
Yeah, what'd you think about this first issue, man?
I enjoyed it. I really like the references. I mean, anything that there's like a tournament fighter reference was, that was really what got me. Like even Leo's special move for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mario Kart reference, stuff like that. I mean, it's just kind of a silly thing. I think once you, when you're reading this and knowing that it's just supposed to be, because they even market it at the back of the book, that it's like missing episodes from the cartoon.
Yeah.
I think when you realize that, it's pretty enjoyable just for what it is.
I agree. But I will tell you that it took me like to issue 3 to get that, because I'm used to a little bit more cohesive stories and volumes. Like, you know, anthologies are fine, but usually in anthologies, I know that it's an anthology going into it, right? This, I didn't. As someone that, okay, so it's maybe a hot take. I know everyone loves the 1987 Turtles, and I do. You know, I, as a kid, I did, and I don't know, man. It's just real. It's not my favorite Turtles when it's all said and done, right? No. So it took me a second to get back in that mindset of enjoying it, because even I was the same way when I tried to go back and watch those original episodes. I'm like, man, this is dumb.
So I have the whole series and I've been watching it. And I think that a lot of times the animation still holds up pretty well.
There's some
that I really enjoy. But yeah, they're, I mean, it's dumb 80s like sell toys cartoon. That's what it is.
So, Shredder is the dumbest. Why is he that dumb in that show?
Yeah.
Whoa, R.I.P. dude, there's still some cheese in the Shredder. Shredder.
That cartoon is silly. You know, we kind of have come to an agreement. I think you and I both like the 2012 or 2013 one the best. That's been my favorite lately. I've been rewatching that one.
Like, overall, it's my favorite.
But there's just a special place for this one. The only problem that I've seen is how many people get so attached to it that they're like, no, it's perfect. I'm like, watch it. Watch it again.
Yeah. It was the same argument that I have with X-Men, the animated series. People are like, oh, man, that is the definitive superhero show. It's the best superhero show, that cartoon that's ever existed. I'm like, dude.
It's the last time you've seen
Watch three episodes, and you won't be able to watch a fourth. I like it, right? I'm into it. This was a good episode. If this was an episode of the show, this would have been enjoyable.
Yeah. I really like this. I like the premise behind it. And it's cool. Again, with references, seeing all the, you know, just seeing all the different villains that they pulled. They even pulled in, like, the animated Talking Razor, which is kind of a, it was, like, not a deep cut, but kind of, because they weren't in the show for very long.
There's a weird thing for me in this book, and it happens a few times throughout the series. Sometimes when the turtles are illustrated, they look perfect, right? In my opinion, throughout the whole thing. But sometimes their eyes are in the center of the, it's like complete circles. And they bug out, and it's completely distracting to me.
Yeah, so that is what I was going to say, that there's Donnie, like, you're probably looking at the same image I am.
Yeah, where he's talking about the fail-safe switch.
No, there's another one where he's, like, Mario Karting or whatever, and he looks at the camera like there's a fourth wall break, and he's like, just looks insane. Those are pretty funny. But yeah, there's a few where they just look pretty odd. And I forget that that's what they look like.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you read this in their voices?
I did, yes.
I did too. It was weird. I wasn't even trying to.
Yeah. The ones that I could remember, definitely.
This would have been a great episode of the show. And that's, so once I got to, like, issue three, and I didn't even know how many issues was in this. I was like, okay, these are just episodes of the show. You know? That's all it is. Let's enjoy it for what it is. And then I started to have more fun with it, because I think that these episodes, if they were episodes, would have been better than a lot of the episodes that I have seen of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, so I was like, these are great.
Some modern writing behind that. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it a lot. Let's move on to the next one, man. Yeah. There's not a lot to talk about.
No, the next one is, let's start. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Saturday Morning Adventures number 2. While intercepting a contingent of Krang Stone Soldiers, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles witness one of their enemies get struck down by the very tech he was sent to steal. With a single blast of mysterious energy, the hard-bodied baddie drops his tough facade and gains an affinity for hair metal and power ballads. Will this transformation last? Can rock and roll really change hearts and minds? Find out on the second exciting episode of TMNT, Saturday Morning Adventure, for those about to rock.
So in this episode, I'm just going to call them episodes because that's what they are.
Yeah.
In this episode, typical turtle setup. Shredder is trying to beat the turtles. He gets Krang's help. They find this. The scientist has this gadget that's to take out armies. So Shredder needs to have it, obviously. Or his stupid ass.
Shredder, you need.
He has Krang's help. He needs his backup. And I did read all of Shredder's lines as Uncle Phil, R.I.P. Perfect Shredder voice. So he sends this rock soldier from Dimension X, and he's a badass. He's a no-nonsense. He hates music, and he gives the turtles a run for their money, cracking their shells. I thought we were going to be in a Freaky Friday situation, right? Because him and Mikey are pulling on this ray gun. It explodes, shoots him back. I can't remember the rock soldier's name.
Thrum.
Yeah. When he gets knocked back, he says something like Mikey would say, and then Mikey doesn't say anything. So I was like, oh, this is a Freaky Friday situation. That's fine. Right? But it's not. It's the scientist created a gun that basically, if you're aggro, it calms you down and it makes you chill. Chill ray.
Yeah, chill, bruh.
He had a chill ray. And so he dips out and he's like, well, I don't want to fight anymore. I'm out. Then the turtles run into him at a concert and he's cool. He's rock and roll. He's loving music now. And he just wants to enjoy the things that he loves. Leave it to Shredder to come with his stupid ass ray gun. Shredder's a ninja. That's one thing that bugs me about the show. He never does anything ninja related. He always uses ray guns and flying cars and things like that.
Yeah. Well, it's like the first season he's all ninja and then he gets mixed in with Dimension X.
Yeah.
He gets brought back to Dimension X.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But one thing that we need to note is that Thrum is affected by this chill ray. The effects aren't permanent. They will wear off. The turtles tell him to get out of there. Go live the remainder of this time to yourself. But then he does the right thing, helps the turtles, and then traps himself in a dimension that he can't hurt anybody. Dimension Q is where he ends up. It was a good episode, man.
It was good. You know, I like the ending. It's like you can fight your own nature kind of thing. That was nice.
Yeah. Had a nice Saturday morning message to it about being yourself.
Also, it plays into the whole thing. Like, y'all don't realize, a lot of people freaked out by people like metal, think that they're, like, worshiping the devil. Metalheads are, like, the nicest people in the world, man. They're really, really nice people.
Eric Burnham really caught some stride in the second one as far as catching the feel of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon. The pacing of an episode is prevalent in this. April is at the news station interviewing the scientists. Shredder shows up. It goes down, right? She pulls out her pocket turtle communicator. And it's like, I hope the turtles will close. The turtles just so happen to be cruising through the streets of New York and the turtle blip. And they're like, lucky we're close. Let's drop in. And so it's like, perfect. We only got 30 minutes or we only had 28 minutes for this episode. Drop them in.
Yeah.
The art in all of these, it feels digital and just in like a one-shot way. It didn't feel like it was a pencils, ink, coloring situation. I felt like it was just I'm drawing this situation.
Yeah, so I have some problems with that on this round. This was rushed as hell.
I feel like it's like that for the rest of it for me.
Yeah, the first one there was some time spent, but this one was really rushed. April's face looks kind of weird and some of them, and it's like errant ink lines. And it is all digital, but the coloring did a lot for it and it helps out a lot, but I do like the inks to be present and be like a big deal. If I could describe the art in one way that maybe people don't, it had like Disney Adventure art, like very quick, put it out because the magazine's got to go out this month.
And honestly, maybe that was the goal. Mm-hmm. And it is a quote unquote adventure book.
But there's some, like towards the end, it gets a little better. It's like an off Dragon Ball Z episode, but you know, everybody has off days too. So,
yeah. And one thing, one note that I have about this issue is that I think I said it in our review of the movie Mutant Mayhem, I love the turtles in clothes, man.
Yeah, like old school hip hop clothes.
Yeah, maybe the hats were too much, but the clothes are great.
Yeah, the hats are a little much, but I do love the clothes, yeah.
Especially the brim to the side. In case you didn't know, this is the 80s, man.
Yeah. Also, Donnie's black. That's why his is to the side.
Yeah, it's got to be
different.
You got to let them know. This was a good one. And like I said, it had the good pacing of an episode. It had that Saturday morning cartoon message, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked it.
I did love the moral of it.
Yeah, I did too.
I already said that, but I think that's the most fun of it. So,
and the whole point was that Ken and they were kind of hinting at it like, oh, he's going to go back. It's sad because he's going to go back to how he was. And even the character was like, I don't want to go back to who I am. At the end, they're asking Splinter, do you think he can change? And Splinter, of course, does something he does his stoic Splinter nonsense and gives a backhanded answer. But then we learned that he doesn't. He goes and stays and continues to be himself in Dimension Q.
Yeah.
So I like that. Happy ending.
He says, sometimes we have to take a poop, but we have a furry butt. Not Splinter enough to
so, Splinter's so weird, man. Just like you, this is a sidebar, but I think it's weird that people have this, it's like a split fan base of Splinter, where they like the rat that learned martial arts. Some people mm-hmm. like that he was transformed. Yeah. And some people like that, well, I guess those are the only two. Which one do you like?
I don't really have a preference. Both stories yeah. work for me. Yeah. I think the rat that, I don't know, neither make any damn sense. I kind of like the guy that turned into the rat. I like the cartoon version.
I hate to say it, but the 2011-2013 one, it's hard to beat that. Like him, mm-hmm. like the whole story, him going there and the, connecting it to Shredder and all that stuff. It's really yeah. hard to beat that one. I used to say that the rat learning martial arts and then mutating and then teach was ridiculous, but then I also realized like everything about this property is ridiculous.
So. It's all ridiculous, but I don't know where I
draw the line.
Yeah, it's like, and they did it in Mutant Mayhem too, where it's like he gets transformed because he's like licking all over these turtles. So either way, yeah. it's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. So weird. Oh, well, that's good. Let's talk about issue. Okay, here we go. Here, pulled up. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Saturday Morning Adventures issue number 3. Casey Jones may not be souped up with mutagen news, but even without ninja skills and a half shell, he holds his own as a hero. So imagine everyone's surprise when stopping a burglary, that's a fucking hard word, at a top secret R&D lab leaves Casey imbued with superpowers. Emboldened by his new gift, Casey takes on NYC's criminal element to great effect. The problem is, his new powers are wreaking havoc on the city's power grid. Can the TMNT talk Casey into giving up his powers, or will they have to take them by force? Find out this time on... Find out in the next electrifying episode of Saturday Morning Adventures. Super Casey. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. So one thing you have to remember is like that Casey Jones in the cartoon is not what you've seen him in any other medium, at least in the 87 cartoon. Like he is a psychopath.
He's ridiculous. Yeah, he's ridiculous in the old one.
He's crazy, but kind of funny, but mostly crazy. He talks like Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry yeah. thing. In this, he actually has powers.
He's not endearing. Like the Casey Jones that we get in all of the other properties is like charming in his own way. Mm. You know, even when he's a little bit more gruff, he's charming in his own way and he fits into that family dynamic a little better, right? This Casey Jones, like you said, is just a psychopath that is kind of friends with the turtles.
Yeah, I don't even know if you ever see his face.
Yeah, even that job interview episode.
They're making a toy of that.
That's great.
So Casey's just like Electro, basically. He's running around doing stuff. Because his whole deal in the 87 cartoon is he's like, evildoer, jaywalker. Like, you know, he freaks out over anything that people are doing. So the turtles start fighting him, and he's getting into rules like, hey, you're a turtle. You can't drive that car. You're breaking the law.
Do you have insurance?
Yeah.
I read it in his voice, too.
Yeah, exactly. So they go back to the professor. They find out that they've only got like 12 hours, 24 hours to give him this antidote to turn him back to regular Casey. And basically, April utilizes her smarts, even though we joke in the group that she's kind of like a Mary Sue in a lot of the 7. Like, she's like, oh no, you know, smart line, and then she's a prisoner. She's the one that kind of figures out, it's like, well, you're stealing all this from the electrical grid and not paying for it. So really, you're stealing energy, you know, which was pretty great. Kind of convince him otherwise. And then Splinter makes a hero sandwich joke. I don't know. It's silly. That's pretty much it.
That's another ending. Like, that's how the show ends.
Yeah. Yeah. But essentially give him the antidote. He takes it by will because he also is a lawbreaker, and that's it. Yeah. That is like the whole thing.
The art is the same as the last issue for me in this.
Some. I think at the beginning, it's a little more put together, but there are definitely some parts like that are rush.
And I'm not harping on too much because it is, you know, it's the Saturday morning adventures, you know, book based off of the show. And the show is the same way. It was solid all the way through, but there were rushed issues. There's something that I really liked about this, and I talked about it early at the beginning of this review, is how the third issue kind of got me into like, oh, these are just episodes of the show. So because this one was fast. Got through it really fast. Didn't even think about it because it's just silly. Casey Jones having electro powers, that's silly, man.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of callbacks in this one, just like there was in the first issue. Like the sunflowers outside of TCR, like the sunflowers in Secret of the Ooze. I don't know if you remember that when they're doing the interview. Yeah. They're talking about how they're mutated.
Yeah. I remember the way they like crunch. That's I have weird fucking memories. Things that I like zero in on, and it's like that sound effect the Foley guy used when he pulled the.
That's because we have ADD.
Yeah. Like this heavy crunch that I just think, like, man, that sounds like it probably tastes good. Probably a good crunch on that flour.
There's a few other ones that I noticed in this that I really enjoyed, a few callbacks.
The zap thing when they get electrocuted is a little bit of a callback. No, it's not. I mean, they're just getting electrocuted, but like in the cartoon, I mean, in the game, when you touch electricity, you'd see their skeleton.
Yeah. Or on Donnie's computer, whenever he is looking up the patterns, it's like the first Ninja Turtle games on Nintendo when you have to ride around in the van.
Yeah.
One of the hardest games of all time.
It really is. It's like, why did y'all call this Ninja Turtles? Y'all wanted people to play this, right? Donnie like an April.
Yeah. Yeah, they always got to have one of them. It never makes sense, but they always got to have one of them.
They're all trying to fit. And so, not to harp on this, I don't want to be one of those people like, what did they do to April? She's supposed to be sexy. April's face does look like a little long. A couple places here, it looks a little off.
Weird. Yeah, it's just weird.
But
it's good. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff to like in it, man. Because it's silly. They have a Batman bat signal that's the hockey mask, and they're like, he could definitely see this. It's gonna be. I've designed this thing to be able to see, you know, 50 miles away or whatever. Because they send him to New Jersey. They're like, yeah, just go beat up New Jersey for a little bit.
Yeah, nobody likes New Jersey.
Yeah. And each one of them ends, just like you said, it feels like they're eating at the end of the episodes, always. They're always eating something at the end of the episodes, and it ends on a corny-ass joke.
Yeah, always got to get their pizza fix. Which is like, same.
You hate that trope. It's not even like, really a trope, you just hate the overdoing it.
Gotta be bad for them, right? It doesn't make sense, all of it. You know, like you... Like we were talking about in that TMNT versus Batman. It doesn't make sense for those extreme versions of Turtles to be like, yeah, but what about pizza? All right, dude.
Yeah.
There's other food groups. Come on.
And it's weird because they like peanut butter and mayonnaise pizza. Like the totally ridiculous things that you couldn't get from a pizza shop.
Yeah, right.
Well, I know you could. I know you could, but you couldn't.
Could you imagine?
Gross.
Sidebar. There was somebody that used to eat peanut butter and marshmallow fluff sandwiches in high school. And I didn't know what the fuck marshmallow fluff was. No, it had nothing to do with poor. I just didn't know what that was. Anyway, we didn't buy that shit. And I legit thought that they were eating mayonnaise and peanut butter sandwiches.
Oof. I don't know which one's worse. I don't like marshmallows, so they're both gross.
I would say the mayonnaise would be weird. Like, if somebody held a gun in my head and made me eat a peanut butter mayonnaise sandwich or a fluff sandwich.
I like peanut butter and I like mayonnaise, so I think I could get through it. I don't like marshmallow.
I mean, I like brushing my teeth and I like orange juice. I don't want to do it at the same time.
But I can.
I do not force myself to it. What is this? Hold on, sorry. There is another That's weird. Near the midpoint, there's like a sign on the back with Ninja Turtles, and it says like now something. And it's when they, like Casey, like tries to zap them in their car, in the van, party wagon. I don't know what that is.
Now playing? Maybe it's the first Ninja Turtle movie?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's let's do a little, and I'll edit this. I found a new way to edit my edits. I just have to say I'm going to edit this because when I pull the transcription over to Descript, I can search by word, so I can just type in edit and it pulls up every time I say
That's a good idea.
Chop it up.
I was going to say one part that I really liked is like when Raph has his size and he's like, you know what these are for, right? And then he like, that's what they're for. Like, everybody thought that they were for like slicing and stabbing. Like, they're mostly used for disarming. That's why he holds them backwards a lot of times, because they're like point, like boxing, disarming, and stab. Anyway.
The first movie came out in 1990.
I thought 89, but yeah, right there on the cusp, I guess.
Wow, I thought it was 89 too. March 30th, 1990. That's weird. Yeah. I was going to say that that's a poster for the first Ninja Turtles movie now playing, because at the beginning of this issue, there was a poster that says something, something 89. And so I thought they were trying to do like a full, the turtles are everywhere.
Yeah.
People love them.
This cop, you're trying to tell me how to do my, that's what I was thinking.
Oh man. This is a good issue. It was fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like none of them are, I mean, the stories are goofy. And that my least favorite part, you know, we always wait until the end, but my least favorite part now, it's not the coloring. It's mostly like the lazy drawing.
Yeah, the line work.
But, you know, it's still, it looks like what it looks like.
I like the coloring, but I like my turtles to be different colors. Mm-hmm. I know they weren't in the show, but.
Yeah, I like when they're differentiated a little bit too. Some way.
Yeah, some way. Unless Raph's wearing a bandana. I don't like that. All right, man, let's do this. Issue number 4.
Bring it home. That's not a commentary about issue 4. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Saturday morning, connected with a miniaturized device designed by Baxter Stockman. As his sensei grows weaker, Donatello investigates and discovers Splinter is being attacked from the inside by microscopic mousers. Initial attempts to combat this infection fail, so Donatello makes the only rational decision to shrink himself and the other turtles down and fight the micro mousers head on. Can the turtles save Splinter, or will they all fall to the tiny invaders? Find out in the 4th exhilarating episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Saturday Morning Adventures, Big Trouble in Master Splinter. That's funny. That's a funny reference.
Big Trouble.
Yeah, you like the Ace Duck poster in the background?
I did. I don't ever remember him in that show.
I think he's in like one episode.
Yeah.
But he's,
I need to find that episode.
He's supposed to be like an action star or something.
Anyway, yeah, so... And this one, essentially, Master Splinter, as Simon said in the synopsis, gets infected, right? And they shrink down, and they're going through, they fight his white blood cells, but they're little rats that know martial arts. I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Why not, man?
Because why not? The art is a little better in this one, as far as it being more solid. So I'll give it that. Not going to harp on that too much on this one. I thought it wasn't, but it ends up being pretty good. I love that they added in some of the elements of wanting to sell toys. They have these version of these turtles that are dressed in the scuba diving gear. That looks dumb, but you can buy a 4-pack. What did you think about it? I mean, I would go into detail, but there's really no other details, but you pretty much summed up the entire thing. In the
There's a Transformer reference here. The microscope he looks at is it's like straight up like the Transformer that turns into a microscope.
I didn't notice that. Let me see.
I just noticed it just now. This episode was pretty interesting. Oh shit, there's the pizza launcher in the background. That's cool.
Wow.
Yep.
You see it? I woke up really early. So sometimes when I'm reading comics for the episode, like I'll start falling asleep in the middle of them. So I don't catch these things. It's not because they're boring. I loved the microscopic party wagon thing. That was cool. There was also like this fourth wall break in here where they're talking about like April. They say a shrinking ray, whatever, a comic book. He says he gets it from a comic book. She said, a comic book. Donatello, no good ideas are inspired by a superhero from the 60s. And then there's a fourth wall break. And then I wasn't sure if it was a reference to like Ant-Man, like if the fourth wall break is there, or they're talking about like the turtles themselves were some kind of inspiration. I guess, right? Because Daredevil, maybe.
It was Daredevil from the 60s.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. Yep, it's got to be it.
I was saying the same thing.
Yeah. It occurred to me like as I was saying it. I was like, oh, yeah, Daredevil, of course. So I like that little piece. Yeah.
Daredevil's first appearance, April 94.
Nice. It was a fun issue. They even made, like, Donnie even reprograms that machine to make some Mouser Ninja Turtles, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, we only get like two panels of those things. I wish we got a little bit more of that. They look cool.
Yeah, they look rad. But yeah, I mean, it's just a weird premise.
It didn't, it for me, I still found myself wanting some sort of interwoven thing, which I know the show didn't have that. Like there was they were all standalone episodes. There was no thread, and maybe they started to do a little bit in the later seasons, like with the Extreme Turtles, but I don't think so.
Now, aside from like the main thread is like either Shredder's there working alone with the foot, or he's like trapped in Dimension X or whatever. Like that was the main theme, but there was never anything like major that
like story arc. There's like no story arcs.
Yeah,
and just reading volumes and kind of what we do here, I'm still looking for that. And that's not a slight against the book. That's just me as a reader. And I just like, I feel like I didn't feel over. I felt like I needed another issue. I don't know why, because it would have just been another standalone issue. But
right.
This one was fun. They get sneezed out and everything seems to be okay. Except Mikey is not back to normal size.
Yeah.
He's dead.
He just dies. That's the end of the. That's the end of the episode. It's like super dark.
The opposite of the last Ronin. Spoiler alert. And that's it. That's the proper ending of this book. Mikey dies.
They found out that Splinter is sick because his wife, he has leukemia. His white blood cell count is really low.
They're actually the turtles beat up so many of Splinter's white blood cells that they gave him leukemia, and now he's dying.
Yeah, the funny like ending thing with Mikey basically wanting to bathe in pizza was probably the grossest thing ever.
Yeah, and you just think like let's be really frank about this, right? They're gross monsters, right? So after he rolled his mutant body around in the pizza, they all ate that pizza too
he got his own pizza, man. They don't have any money. Yeah.
They had to eat it because they're fueled by pizza.
Yeah. I just imagine like breaking out from having grease all over your body like that.
Yeah. What the hell, man? Yeah. Think about their skin. It's gross.
And their shits.
I need a slice of life book with the Ninja Turtles on like what they do on a real life day to day.
So SNL did a thing. It was like middle aged mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever.
This is what I felt like they looked like.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Especially with anytime they have those straight up circle eyes, circle pupils, it reminds me of that SNL skit where they're like dudes, middle aged dudes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a funny issue, but again, like you said, it just, that's it. It ends and, hey, Sean Galloway did a alt cover. Yeah.
I've never had a problem with the pizza thing, but they get their pizza from Ninja Pizza.
Racist.
I'm going to do some headcanon, right? Maybe New York City is inspired by the Turtles saving so much and loving pizza that they're like, oh, they're ninjas, so we'll make a ninja pizza. And it's like a New York theme because they're the saviors of New York.
I wouldn't say that's a big jump because in the second movie, it starts with everybody eating pizza. Like, the whole city's eating pizza as if inspired by TMNT. There you go. They wouldn't have fucking known about TMNT because it didn't, like, save the world. They just saved themselves. They just
murdered some dude.
And some and some youths. That's all
they just murdered some dude by throwing him off a roof and into a trash compactor.
Yeah, so that goes along. That same theme goes along with, like, Blue Beetle when that one dude just gets, like, impaled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I laid over to my wife and I was like, listen, I get that they do a lot of killing in these movies, but that guy is dead. Like, they murdered that man.
And then they joke about it. Like, I don't know. I don't like when it doesn't, like, thematically fit. The rest of them.
It didn't, man. It's like, I get that there's good guys and bad guys on sides, but that doesn't mean that. That's you cannot feel any sort of remorse about killings. I know people, I don't know, but I would imagine people that go to war that have to kill people feel that in their bones, you know? They're just like, yeah, I just stepped on a guy.
Yeah, we got to wipe our feet off, you know? It's like, whoa, okay. Anyway, that is a long.
Oh, yeah, not the Blue Beetles.
No, leave it in there. So. That's it. I mean, that's really it. I don't really have anything else to say about it.
No, that's the end of that issue. And that ends the volume. And I didn't expect it to. It's just kind of random. But it fits the theme of this entire volume. All kind of random. Let's talk about it overall. You think that we're going to have some differing opinions on it.
And I think you might be right.
Well, I just, the way that you said, I was curious if you enjoyed it at all. You know, once I realized that it wasn't like a sequential thing or a, what did you call it? Anthology type deal, serialized, whatever you want to say. Once I realized it wasn't that, I had a lot of fun with it because it's just like the cartoon, you know, it doesn't make any damn sense. It never really did. So
I will say I enjoyed it more once I realized that. But I'm just not really a fan of these kind of books. Not saying that they're bad or good. They're not the kind of books that I generally go out and collect and read because they are for a specific audience. Casual fans of Ninja Turtles or fans of Ninja Turtles, maybe casual readers. This is like someone that doesn't collect comic books really, but they love the Ninja Turtles, right? They love the 1980 show and... this is sort of a continuation. This is perfect for them. Younger readers, perfect for them. Like, this is something I would pick up for my son to read. I can see that. This is I think that's my thing. It's just something that I typically don't read. And this didn't make me want to read. I think there's another volume out right now of the Saturday Morning Adventures. Didn't make me want to read it. And it's, again, that's not a slight. It's just not my cup of tea as far as comic book stories go, you know?
Sure.
Once I got into like, oh, this is just quick, fun, read. I was like, I honestly know that old show so well that I probably don't have to read this. Like, I could probably look at the images and tell you what's going on and skim through this. I did read it all, but I'm also like, I still think I could have you know what I mean? Like, there were no real surprises, no twists. Not that there was ever going to be. You know?
Yeah, there's no stakes really at all.
Yeah, so, and it's not a slight. Again, it's just not really my usual reading.
Can't read.
But so. I think for what it was, but what I think for, you know, writing-wise, for what they were aiming for, like what the goal of this book, I think they obviously hit it on the head. They captured the tone of that old show. They nailed the characters. The pacing felt like an episode of the show. So I'd say high remarks, if I'm being like objective about it, you know, what they were trying to do and what they did.
Yeah, definitely. That's, I feel like that was the intent.
Yeah.
So 5 stars on that anyway.
Yeah.
Really the only complaint I have about these books is that the art feels a little rushed. It was definitely like, you can see at the end, there's some sketch from the artist, Tim Laddie. And you can see that he does a lot of that sketching. He might ink over some of it, darken it up, and erase the parts that he doesn't need, you know, duplicate the layer and just erase that, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. If I just feel like he probably could have spent a little bit more time.
Now, yeah. All his covers are so good, too.
Yeah, and issue one was really clean, in my opinion, compared to the rest of them. So it's like, either you're just trying to impress people with issue one and you got busy with the rest of them, or what, or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, and I could get past most of it. I really could. Like, I thought it was serviceable. Yeah. But the eyes, which I just could not get past it. And I know that I hyperfixate on, like, the most random thing. And this is a sidebar. There was a book that came out last week, Immortal Thor, issue number one. Right, it's a big deal, because it's the same writer from Immortal Hulk. So everyone's like, oh, he's about to get this treatment, right? He's about to get, because that was a highly sought after book, the Immortal Thor or Immortal Hulk run. And I read it, and I was like, yeah, it's good, but there was some, the art is good as well, but there was something about the way Thor was illustrated that I hyperfixated on, and I couldn't get past it. He has his helmet with his winged ears, right? But he had his helmet and his ears were down here, not connected to the helmet at all. They were just like on the side of his head in almost every illustration. And I was like, I can't get past it, man. Like, and I know it's not even a slight. Like, I'm not posting about it to dunk on the artist. It's just me. I weirdly hyperfixate. And that was the eyes in this book. There's beady circle eyes. I couldn't get past it.
Yeah, they're odd.
But it's me. I'm blaming my own stupid brain. But I thought everything was serviceable. Art was, you know, it was rushed in some of it, but like you said, it's got that Dragon Ball Z effect.
Yeah.
Every other bit was a little, not my cup of tea, but it works. Let's do this. Let's grade this thing with the official Wednesday Pool grading chart. And if you want your own copy of the Wednesday Pull List official grading chart, you can join our Discord. Head over to the FAQ section, scroll all the way up to the top, and that's where you can find it.
Let's do it.
Let's do this. Simon, you go first, since this was your recommendation.
Well, it was recommended to me. It wasn't mine.
Since you made us read this, and you wouldn't read anything else this week.
Yeah, even though I was like, you want to read this? You want to do the thing we already planned? I'm going to give it a 5. Like, it was good. I enjoyed it. It could have used a little bit more on the art, but I think overall it was good. It was fun. I don't know. It's just a fun book. I think that's the point, just to be fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, for me, the point is to cash in on the nostalgia for people that think the show's perfect, right? And I think it did it. If I'm being completely objective, taking my, you know, usual reading habits out of it, I think it did everything that it sought after to do, you know, and I think it did it relatively well. And so if I have to grade this, I'll probably give it an F. I'll probably give it a D. C3 is where I'm going with. C3. Right?
Fair enough. Yeah.
I think it's fine. I would eat that. And I would, as toast, I wouldn't even say anything bad about it. Someone made me toast, and they just don't know how I like my toast.
Well, yeah, they're like, here's some bread.
Hey, Lex, I made you some toast. Here it is. I'd be like, you know what? Sure. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah,
it's got one bite of crunch, I'm fine.
For anyone who doesn't know about our grading chart, is a toast chart. So
yeah,
get on our Discord, check it out, and you'll understand what the hell we're talking.
It's so ridiculous, but we're, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, we're coming up on 200 episodes. So we just cannot change it, because why?
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of the episode is to talk about why we like it, so that it's really just, like, arbitrary.
It really is. It's really just to be obnoxious. Oh, God. All right, Sam. Where can the people find you? What you got going on? Should they be looking out for anything? Do you need their support?
I could always do support. Everybody send me a dollar. Okay. I got expensive stuff.
Let's start a chain letter. What's a full chain letter?
We'll pull your chain for one letter. Wait. So, yeah, you can find me at Sime_on_toast. That's where I post a lot, toy photography-wise. If you're looking for a print or you see anything you like, let me know. I could probably hook you up with a poster or something. That's about it on that front. But yeah, I've got, you know, look out soon-ish. I can't give dates because I signed a legal agreement, but I've got some big stuff coming with one company, so that's pretty fun. It's not like a continuing thing, but it's a cool project, so I'm excited about that. And then, yeah, man, October should be fun. Hopefully I get that stuff from Diamond Select. I'm in for Christmas stuff, so that's it. That's all I got going on.
Hell yeah. Wednesday poll everywhere. You know, we've been getting some good numbers on Twitter. We have
we've done some things on Twitter. We've you know, we're
everywhere. We haven't done any events yet, but we're maybe one day. Simon and I, we just like talking to each other. And I don't know if we like talking to other people. So I think once we get into the mode where there's a reason for us to have an event, maybe we will. But we're everywhere else on the internet. We'll virtually talk to you.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is like, I really, my patience for people is gone. So a lot of times I'm like, yeah, just had enough of this for today.
So Wednesday poll everywhere. If you want to support the show in any way, join our Discord. As we mentioned earlier, hit us up. We'll send you an invite. You could also go to patreon.com/Wednesday poll. You'll get our uncut episodes. You also get the episodes where we messed up on the audio. We need a place to put it because if not, it just lives in my computer. You also get exclusive access to our show, The Thick Cut, and a bunch of other things. I'm really going to put some work into Discord or Patreon soon, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, there's a fund where you could just give us a dollar. Just give us a dollar. Yeah.
$1, man. That's what Simon was saying. Just give us a dollar. We'll split it 50-50. I'll buy some bubble gum. Simon will buy some bubble gum, and we'll be happy. If you don't want to monetarily support our silly, silly habits, then consider joining our newsletter. It's free. You get a perfectly curated list of top 10 books that are coming out of the week, and you also get you also get other things like the reminder of the episode that's about to drop, and the link and photo of the week from Simon.
You also get other things like a virus.
And check out his stuff, and then we get all the information from your computer and your credit card information. So do us that favor.
Microsoft called us and told us that we had to do a scan.
Yeah, we're trying to, this is what we need all this money for, right? We're trying to have our own Wednesday poll list convention. It's going to be on a yacht. Yeah. And no one is invited except for me and Simon and maybe our wives. That's what it is. So if you guys can help us do that, we would love it. If not, join the newsletter, leave us a review, rate this thing 5 stars wherever you listen to your pod. And that's enough of my pitch. I could pitch you guys for another 15 minutes, but I'm going to let you get out of here. Enjoy your day, your night, your morning, whatever you got going on.
And when we say rank our pod, like wherever you're listening to it, we don't mean like scratch 5 stars into a toilet stall. We mean
you could.
Well, yeah, do that as well. But like Apple Podcasts or Spotify or the tinfoil hat, the fillings in your teeth, wherever you're hearing us right now.
Right. If I am sitting in the back of your car and playing this in your ear as you tremble, rate it 5 stars, please.
I'll give you my phone.
When the police, after the police officers get there, let them know that it was a 5-star episode and that we're circling the drain. So we'll let you guys go, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.